On this week's episode of the We've Seen That podcast, we're talking about Gunpowder Milkshake. I'm Jim.
And I'm Adam.
Cut the music. We're back for the 45th episode, and big shout out right away to Adam, and thank you to him and his wife and amazing daughter for allowing me to borrow him for an hour or so to record tonight. Yeah, because otherwise I'd just be monologuing the whole time, and no one wants that.
Right, I wasn't going to let you do it alone, and Scott and Anthony decided they needed a vacation, so I'm back.
Yeah, I don't know where they get off on this. It's not like they work that hard, right?
Right. 2 weeks in a row for me, though.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Second or third time I think you've done that, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's always fun.
And highest number of guest appearance episodes too, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just racking those up.
Yeah, you'll basically be a co-host at some point here, be on every week.
I don't know about that. But it is always fun to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Big shout out to the folks that took me out golfing on Monday because I'm not able to drive right now. So really appreciate them coming down from Appleton. And Ben, who had the forethought to send two movies I gave him like 18 months ago down with them. You know, we never agreed to a due date from my movie library, but like that was big game changer. I had basically written those off as like an investment in our friendship to let him have my copy of Parasite and Midsommar.
Well, now you got them back.
Well, yeah, and I had digital copy, so I wasn't losing sleep over it. But again, thank you, Ben. Awesome guy. Cool. And I guess we should at least mention that the Bucks did win the NBA championship.
They
I know,
did.
Coming from me, this is super thrilling.
Bucks in six. On our last episode, which was before game five even, I think, the series was tied 2-2.
Yeah, and Scott called this. He wanted it to be known.
Bucks in six. So he called it. I'm very excited. I went to a bar with some buddies and watched it. The whole place was packed. Everyone was going wild for game six. It was a sweet atmosphere. Sports are back. Still trying to get out of COVID, but I'm vaccinated. So hopefully everyone else at the bar was too. It was electric. It was very, very fun.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of friends of mine on Snapchat on their stories down in Milwaukee, and it seemed fucking nuts down there. Yeah. Had a big old parade today, it looks
like. Yeah, the parade was today for the championship. Very cool. Congrats to the Bucks.
Yeah, big time win for Milwaukee. And the Brewers put out a press release congratulating them because that needed to happen.
Well, so the Brewers were supposed to be playing at the same time as Game 6, but they rescheduled it.
Yeah, they avoided it, right?
Yeah, they rescheduled it for earlier in the afternoon and gave everyone the option to exchange their tickets if they couldn't make the new time.
If they then couldn't make it.
Yeah, it was very cool.
That is actually like a big-time cool move. I'm impressed now. At first, I was just being a little bit of an ass about it, but now I'm excited. That's cool. Cool thing to do. Because that could have cost them a fuckload of money, I'm sure.
Right. And for the city, they didn't want to like schedule the game at the same time. So, yeah.
That'd be a goddamn monstrosity. Sounds like traffic's just been jacked up all week downtown.
Yeah, I imagine.
But anyways, with that, we can talk a little bit about what we're watching. I'll let you go first as the guest. Seems only polite.
I watched a brand new movie. You may have heard of it. Space Jam, A New Legacy.
Is it a brand new movie or is it just an advertisement for other Warner Brothers properties?
I guess it's mostly an advertisement. There's a movie in there. I don't think I'd call it a good movie. I don't really know what else to say. I did not like it.
Is LeBron as good as MJ?
At acting?
Yes.
Yes, which is bad because they're both bad. MJ's was bad in the original Space Jam and LeBron is bad here. I'm not gonna.
Was there lots of nostalgia pulls back to the old movie?
Almost.
Did they do anything with the golf hole?
Nothing at all.
That's pretty disappointing because I actually kind of like the original Space Jam. As someone who doesn't give a shit about sports, like that's kind of one of
The
my
original
hotter
one,
takes.
while not a good movie, is very fun. This one was boring. Which
That's the worst. Was it long
it was
too?
long as fuck. It was almost 2 hours. It was
That's
155.
awful.
The original is like 80 minutes.
Yeah, it's very crisp. I watched that while I was in the hospital.
Want to know the worst part, Jim? Which, I
Yeah.
mean, I'll tell you my score after this, but it brought it down a full point. They didn't play the song.
They didn't play the Space Jam song?
No,
That is just the worst.
that's the best part of that movie. The
I
original.
don't understand how you could
I don't
leave that
understand how
out.
you make a new Space Jam movie without the song, and it really pissed me off. And for that reason, it is getting a 3 out of 10.
Or bare minimum, at least doing a remix of it.
Right.
So a 3 out of 10 for Space Jam: A New Legacy from Adam.
There were
I
some
feel as
fun
though I'm
nods,
obligated to watch it at some point, but
as like a
not
movie
super motivated to
podcast,
do
because
so.
like it was all about WB properties. There were some fun movie references. I think my favorite one is so the premise is all the Looney Tunes are in like different worlds and they have to go get them to put the team together. The best
Right.
one, in my opinion, was Wile E. Coyote was in Mad Max.
I love it.
So he's dressed up like one of
The Road Boys.
he does the whole witness me thing. He sprays the silver spray paint in his mouth and shit. That was, but it's like a 20-second scene, so like it was barely anything. But
Yeah, really
that was my
fast.
favorite part.
I like it. I like that. You know, and like DC has done a lot with the Looney Tunes where like they'll pop up for one-shot comics like Bugs Bunny will be in Superman or stupid shit like that. So like I actually like that part of it, even though it leads to like the product placement that drives me nuts in a lot of movies.
The Looney Tunes shenanigans were definitely the best part. The LeBron part and the basketball part were honestly pretty boring entirely. But
Okay. What else did you watch?
I caught up on Dave season 2, which Dave is the little Dickie TV show. I think I mentioned it a couple months ago. I watched the
You
first.
did, but I'm not entirely sure what it's about because I'm an idiot.
It's basically based on his life. It's like semi-autobiographical of how he rose from being nobody to a famous rapper. I loved season 1. Last time I was on, I had only seen the first 2 episodes of season 2, and I was kind of cold on it. Like, I didn't think it had recaptured the magic. I think it has gotten better. It has not hit the highs of season 1, which I was incredibly impressed by.
Is that streaming somewhere?
Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Hulu. Sweet. Maybe I'll have to
Season
check it out.
1, I absolutely loved. Season 2 is getting better, so I'm excited to see where it goes in the second half here. But that's pretty much all I've been watching. I haven't Not too much else, I don't think. What have you been watching, Jim?
I got roped into signing up for Paramount Plus. Apparently, they give you a student discount of 25%, so Angie still has her Concordia email, so we signed up with that, hoping to get a discount on it. But it absolutely sucks. Their selection of stuff is not even worth having its own streaming service.
That's rough.
Lots of classic Nickelodeon stuff, Avatar: The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra,
Well, I mean,
which
honestly, that might be worth it just in itself.
yeah, I know, if we didn't already have the box set of them on Blu-ray.
Well, yeah, then you might as well just watch them there, so.
Right. They have all kinds of Star Trek stuff, which is cool for me, but like that's the most appealing thing in reality. I basically signed up for this because I believe we did on Hype Porn a few months ago, said that like next year they're going to do one new movie a week on there for the whole year. And I'm like, that, sign me up.
They did say that. Snake Eyes, the G.I. Joe movie, is a Paramount movie. Is that premiering on there, or is that only theaters?
I believe that's only theaters.
Well, there you go. Sorry about that.
I'm not sure that I would want to watch Snake Eyes anyways.
I would watch it if
Just
it was
not.
on Paramount.
Yeah, and especially if they had the other two G.I. Joe movies, I'd try and watch those and then probably watch
I don't
it.
think they're connected, though. I think this is
Thought this one was like a prequel to the other two.
I think
Or is it totally a
technically,
reboot?
I think it technically is a reboot, though it wouldn't be in the same timeline anyway, because Snake Eyes is already established and this is an origin story. So I don't know if it's a prequel or if it's just not connected at all.
Right, and that's why I thought it was a prequel, because I knew like he was in the other two movies
Yeah.
already. But so Angie and I have been watching more Ink Masters on Paramount Plus. We had watched the
Nice.
first two seasons on Netflix, only to be pissed to realize that the rest of it was on Paramount Plus, so I've brought this up before. It's a great show, like seeing cool tattoos, even though I don't have any myself, you know.
Should get one.
Makes me think that I want to get one, but I also don't want to throw the money away on it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I would do well enough with the pain.
Okay.
And then I watched A Quiet Place because A Quiet Place 2 is on Paramount Plus, so I'm hopefully going to watch that soon.
Oh,
A
nice.
Quiet Place, it's just a really strong, like, thriller horror.
Yeah.
You know, the gags that they can pull with, like, totally cutting the sound for a while before just really bringing it back all at once, like, with big sound hits, is really good. You know, the monsters are terrifying looking. Give that one an 8 out of 10. The only problem is that when it gets so quiet, it leads me to want to nap. Because it'll be totally silent for long portions, like upwards of entire minutes at various points. You know, so if you're not like fully awake, you're gonna have a problem,
Yeah,
in my
definitely.
opinion at least. And I like how they figured out how to kill the monsters eventually too. I thought that was kind of an ingenious sort of trick.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good one.
I assume you've seen it before as well.
I saw it once when it first came out. I actually don't remember a lot of it. I don't know why, but
And that's part of why I wanted to go back to it, because I need to try and remember where they left off.
yeah. There it
There we
is.
go.
What we wait for every week, the hype horn.
Yeah, and this is a big fucking week here.
Yeah, we got a lot on here, which is probably okay, because with just the two of us, we probably won't talk about the movie review quite as long.
Yeah, we'll probably barrel through that pretty quick. And hopefully through the hype horn here. We'll start with Adam has brought the new Dune trailer as some guest produced hype.
Hell yeah, baby! Dude, I'm so excited for this movie.
The trailer looks so fucking good.
I've been excited because
October 22 release date.
I think HBO Max and theaters.
Correct. That's what they're
So,
doing with everything through the end of the year.
and I will probably go to the theaters for this because that's how hyped I am. I loved the book, which I read last year, and the cast for this has looked amazing. And there was a teaser earlier this year, but this has been the first like full trailer, and I think it looks great, and I'm very excited for it. And I hope it does well enough at the box office to get the sequel.
Yeah, because there's a whole like handful of these books, aren't there?
Correct, but even this movie is only the first half of the first book.
Right, so it needs a sequel in order to even finish the first
Yeah,
book.
anything beyond that is icing on the cake, but I need at least the second movie because I need them to finish the story. And it is not officially greenlit yet. They're waiting on to see how it performs, and I'm very scared because Blade Runner 2049 was by the same director and was also amazing, but didn't do well at the box office. That's another sci-fi movie, and I'm a little worried that Dune will underperform, but I hope it
Right,
doesn't.
we have another piece of hype that's kind of related to like whether or not this will perform with the simultaneous release.
Right. So I'm a little worried, but fingers crossed. It looks amazing. I'm incredibly hyped. Timothée Chalamet, Jason Momoa, Zendaya. I'm
Poe
just,
Dameron, I forget his name.
Oscar Isaac is his name.
That's what it is.
Josh Brolin, and there
I'm hyped
was
for this.
Skarsgård is playing the villain. And
The
they
fat
showed,
floaty guy.
yeah, which they actually downsized him. In the book, he's like 500 pounds. He probably only looked about 300 in this trailer.
Yeah, and he looked only probably about 300, maybe 400 in the original Dune movie. But
So
absolutely
you
disgusting.
reference him as fat floaty guy. The reason he floats is because in the book he is literally so fat that he can't walk, so they put little levitator things on his folds of flat to hold him up, and he just like bounces around rooms because he's like in low gravity.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
It
amazing.
was pretty funny looking in like the 70s movie because like the CG wasn't there yet to make it
Yeah,
look
I
great.
hope they can like strike a good balance in this new one of making him menacing because he is like a monstrous person, but also making him like cartoonishly goofy looking, but still somehow be
Yeah,
menacing.
because he was like committing a genocide, I believe,
Oh
right?
yeah. Oh yeah. Not a
Yeah,
great
so
dude.
not a good look.
But anyways, yeah, this is all I care about. I can't wait for this movie. I was so pissed when it got delayed. It's been delayed like
Well,
four
because it was supposed to
times.
be like the beginning of October, right? And now it's the 22nd.
Well, it was supposed to be like October last year. But
Well, yeah, I remember that, and they
COVID.
pushed it because of COVID.
Yeah. And then they kept pushing it. Because like first, then it was going to be spring, and then it was going to be summer, and now it's all the way back to fall.
Right, but related to your worry about whether or not it performs, Black Widow had the worst second weekend sales slump of any MCU movie. Theater owners are pissed and are blaming the simultaneous streaming release on Disney Plus Premier Access. So that would make me worried about whether or not Dune will make enough money, because it seems that people are not yet going out to theaters in over streaming things instead.
I'd be curious to see, because Black Widow was one of those that you had to pay extra for.
Yeah, it's $30
So
even
I'd be
still.
curious if it was a slump because of that, like how many people bought it on there that would have went to the theaters
Yeah, like what are
normally,
overall sales in total?
or did it just have a slump? Like, did people not buy it there either? Did it just not perform well in its second week? I don't know.
Well, I feel like there's still been a lot of like press talk about it, but that's normal when it comes to a Disney movie.
Yeah,
You
that's
know, or
true.
MCU. Everyone wants to talk about it and theorize.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but
I have not seen it yet either. I've been holding out to maybe make that my return to the theaters movie.
yeah.
Dune s smells a lot like maybe a go to Milwaukee for an IMAX.
Yeah, I probably won't be able to because I got a family, but that would be
Yeah, and I'll owe Angie so much if she goes to that one because she absolutely hated the original.
The original is so weird though. David Lynch is, I don't know.
I should have played my cards better and made her not watch it, or
Yeah.
not made her watch it, you know. Also, Game of Thrones spin-off based around Fleabottom in King's Landing has been canceled. So, apparently not very good, or not good enough for HBO to want to pick it up.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care about that spin-off at all.
I don't know that I
I don't
care
really care
about.
about the one that they greenlit even.
Yeah, I don't know that I care about any Game of Thrones spinoffs anymore. Like, I'll probably watch it just because I'm a sucker. And once
Well,
the
I gotta use
tra
my
if the
HBO Max for something.
and the trailer will come out, and I'll be like, holy shit, it looks cool. Maybe they fixed it. And then it'll probably be average, but who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, there's no way it'll recapture the magic, that's for sure.
The real thing is that even if this one's good, they still didn't need like six of them or however many they were originally writing. So I don't care that this Fleabottom one got canceled.
Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous how many that were constantly being talked about.
Right.
'Cause there's still the one about like the original Targaryens when
Yep.
they were first ruling the Seven Kingdoms, you know, that is getting made.
Yes.
Speaking of HBO, The Last of Us TV show will cost more than $10 million per episode, reportedly.
Okay, they must all be on CG for the zombies or the clickers as they're called in that universe.
I would think so. It's gotta be, right?
And I guess,
Whether it's prosthetics or actually computer generated.
I guess maybe some of the cost is for hiring the big actors like Oscar Isaac.
I forget
Or
who
is it
they
Pedro Pascal? Is it
thought it
Pascal?
was Pedro
Yeah,
Pascal.
I think you're right.
Because everyone was talking Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And then the gal from Lyanna Mormont from Game of Thrones
Yeah, but she can't be
as
that
Ellie.
expensive. I just TVs,
She's not famous enough to be that expensive
yeah,
yet.
like premium TV is so expensive. Like you hear all these stories about how Amazon's Lord of the Rings show that we haven't even seen anything for yet is
It's
already
gonna
like the
cost like
most,
500 million.
yeah, it's like the most expensive production ever or some shit. And I don't know. Like I don't know if it's prestige TV is just expensive to make now or if they're doing something special with it. I
I
don't
could
know.
see a lot of CG going into the Lord of the Rings series,
Yeah.
depending upon how like fantasy they get in the first season.
The numbers don't mean a whole lot to me. Like, I guess it means production values should be good, so I should have high expectations, but I'm not going to make a judgment based on numbers. I want to see at least a trailer before I say anything, I guess.
Yeah, I was just more so thinking, like, at least, like you said, we know that production value should be pretty high, so it should still feel like premium TV.
Right.
In Q2, Netflix lost 500,000 subscribers. Can't imagine where they're going necessarily, or if people are just tired of, like, kind of the lack of new
Yeah, I don't
content
know.
or, like, good new content.
Yeah, Netflix has had kind of a weak run lately. I'm trying to think of the last big thing that everyone was talking about that was on Netflix, and I can't
Well, they
think.
keep canceling like their original shows after a season or two to start something new instead of continuing the same thing.
Yeah, and like they had some good shows that I thought probably didn't even get enough love. Like there's this
Angie
weird.
is still pissed about the Dark Crystal show.
Yeah, people are pissed about that one. I watched some weird action comedy show called Teenage Bounty Hunters that I thought was kind of funny.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't amazing, but got canceled after one season and had like a cliffhanger ending, so guess I'm not finding out what happened in that.
Then there was like some dark fantasy show that Angie watched as well, and that got canceled after a single season.
Yeah, they had that super high production budget superhero show. What was it like?
Jupiter Rising or something like
Jupiter,
that.
yeah, and that got canceled also after one season.
Yeah, she watched
So
that as well, was also pissed.
I don't know. Maybe people, I guess I've started kind of for certain services where there's only one or two thing I watch, I've been canceling and then resubbing when something's on that I want to watch.
Yeah, when the
Like
next season is about to come out or something.
I did that with Apple Plus. I canceled after season one of Ted Lasso, and it's starting again, so I got to get back on there.
Did you get that promo from PlayStation for the 6 free months?
I haven't tried it yet. I did look on some social media, and it looks like there's some troubles with it, but it should be fixed within the next few days for sure. So
Hopefully it's not just for brand new subscribers.
it's not there. There was some fine print. It was
Because I
like.
currently have a free year, I'd love to just tack 6 months on the end.
I think it depends on how you got it. It's like there's some like one Apple bundle or something that you're not eligible for it, but any other thing you are, I don't know.
Oh, mine just came free when I got my iPad.
Yeah, so I think you might still
So
be
hopefully I
okay.
can tack
I
on then.
think you're probably okay then, but
Granted, I haven't watched anything on there.
yeah.
I watched a couple episodes of that Mythic Quest show that we talked about, I think.
Right.
Video game developers, and it wasn't that great.
Yeah. For people who don't know what we're talking about, Apple offered a is offering a 6 month free trial of Apple TV Plus for people who own a PlayStation 5. So I'm gonna use that, I think, so I can watch season two of Ted Lasso and then cancel it again before I have to pay for it because I don't want to pay for it.
And that's a show about a soccer coach, right?
Well, he's a football coach who gets hired as a soccer coach in England, but he has no soccer experience. Shenanigans
Okay, so
ensue.
someone who doesn't know anything about soccer may not
You would
necessarily
still
be
enjoy it.
prepared to
There's
watch it. I still would.
it's the on the field action is honestly 1% of the thing. It's more of like a sitcom about a sports team, and he's all about like positivity and uplifting thoughts and stuff. It's very wholesome. That's the word I would use to describe it. I would recommend it to
Sweet.
anyone, even if you're not a sports fan, honestly.
I like it. Maybe I'll have to give it a try.
Yeah, I think
I
you
like
should.
wholesome content.
Yeah,
Need
it's
more of that in my life.
yeah, very wholesome.
So, Neil Blomkamp's District 10, his sequel to District 9, will apparently focus on a topic from American history. Not sure what that means,
Okay, I don't
but could be interesting.
I did see when this news came
Coming
out.
from a South African guy.
Yeah, so I did see a tweet when this news came out of some idiot who was like, "Looks like they're gonna be all woke. I won't be watching." But District 9 is a direct allegory for South of African
For apartheid, isn't it?
apartheid. Yeah, so like the first one was already pretty political, so.
Yeah, it was very woke from the get-go.
Yeah, so I just thought that was funny. But yeah, this could be anything. Like, I don't, maybe it'll be like a 9/11 kind of thing. They could focus on like terror and trying to like defend from the aliens and like surprise attacks as opposed to all out war or whatever. I don't know.
Right. I could see that.
Yeah. could be slavery. I have no idea.
Yeah, it could 100% go into like Patriot Act sort of things if
Yeah,
what you're saying about like protecting from terror happens.
I think that would be interesting, but who knows? It could go any direction. And District 9, I haven't seen it, but I know it's really well regarded, so.
We have like 240 years of history to look at here as
Right.
options,
Right.
plus the pre-signing of the Declaration of
Right.
Independence history too.
So whatever they base it on, I have faith that they'll probably at least make it work somewhat.
Another just random headline I saw. All five Twilight movies are currently on Netflix and all made the top 20 immediately after being released.
That doesn't surprise me all that much. It's a
Lots of
nostalgia
Edward
thing.
versus Jacob people out there still.
Yeah. Well, even if you don't like love it anymore, if you were like 13 when those movies came out, you're like in your 20s now, and like they pop up to watch for free with your Netflix subscription, and you're like, I remember when I was obsessed with these. Let's watch them just as something to do with some bullshit for nostalgia.
Yeah, I've
Like,
seen all of them too.
yeah, this
Like,
didn't surprise me all
I don't
that
think they're
much.
terribly good or terribly bad.
Yeah, no, they're just very generic teenage romance fantasy.
Vampire werewolf
Yeah.
junk. So apparently there was a scene in Loki that was cut where Throg, which is Thor as a frog, beat the living shit out of Loki and they cut it out.
Yes,
I
which
texted
is.
you saying this is what pissed me off because this could have been something cool, you know, instead of that final episode baloney. And you
Well,
pointed out that, yeah, it absolutely would have been in episode 5 and not the finale,
yeah,
which
I
I
don't think it would
agree
have been in the
with.
finale. If they had done it, it would have been in episode 4 with all the Loki variants and stuff. If it is has, I don't remember the wording of the article, but it sounded like it was fully filmed. Maybe the CGI and stuff wasn't done, but it sounded like it was just cut, not like they didn't decided not to do it.
Right, like from what I understood, it was like pretty much good to go,
Right.
is what I thought.
Which makes me think that they just couldn't find a spot that they wanted to put it in the story they wanted to tell. As we discussed last week, season 2 has been confirmed. If they already have this footage filmed, if they could
Hopefully, we
just
see it then.
find somewhere to put it in, like a flashback. Like in season 1, we got the thing of Loki as DB Cooper as a dare, and we got the story of Loki cutting off what's her name? What's her name's hair? The
Sylvie.
no. The warrior girl. When
The
he was
warrior
in like the
girl.
memory loop as like a
Oh, Lady
punishment.
Sif.
Yeah, Sif. We got that. Like, so if they just find a way to like do it as a flashback or something, like remember that time you pranked Thor? Like,
Turned him into a frog. Well, we still did get to see Throg
yes,
in episode four.
there was a quick shot of him, so I think
In
maybe
like a
they could
little
put it in
glass
season
box.
2, or maybe in the lead up to season 2, they release this as like a deleted scene, as like a promo.
Yeah, because I thought that would have been super cool to see.
I don't think there's any way we don't see this in some form someday.
Whether it gets leaked or like just straight up posted to like Disney's YouTube or something like that.
Right. And I want to see it. It sounds cool. There's an animated show that they did this storyline in. It's a famous storyline from the comics, which is based on a famous story from mythology, Norse mythology, where Thor is turned into a frog by Loki because he's a trickster god. But yeah.
In our last piece of hype, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has decided he is no longer happy being the highest paid actor in Hollywood and has confirmed he is not going to be in Fast 10 or 11 or any future movies for the franchise.
I mean, he wasn't in 9 either, was he?
You're asking the wrong guy.
I don't think he might have been an
My
8.
assumption was that he was.
I don't think he
Well, he
was.
obviously was in Hobbs and Shaw.
Right. So how it started was there was a feud between like
Him
him
and
and
Vin, right?
it started between him and Tyrese Gibson. And then it escalated to him and Vin Diesel. And there had been some reports that they patched it up, but apparently that is untrue. So I don't know. I don't care. I'm done. I haven't watched a full Fast Furious movie since Fast Five.
On Prime Day, my brother got the box set of the first 8, so I've been trying to pick my way through. I think I watched the first 2,
Yeah.
but then I got bored.
Yeah, like I saw Fast Five. I think that is actually a genuinely good movie, but like I just never saw the rest of them. I've seen random scenes on like YouTube and if I'm scrolling and they're on like HBO or something, but I'm not a Fast and Furious fan, so I really don't care that The Rock is not going to be in more of them.
The only reason I care is hopefully then they'll be done making them, just because I'm kind of tired of
They
hearing about
said
them.
11, which is actually 10 part 2, because they want to end it on 10, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It's 11. You're making 11 movies.
Right.
They said that's the last one, but I don't know if I believe them.
We'll see whether or not Universal decides that they don't want to make another $1 billion.
Right. Exactly.
So that's what we got for hype porn. You ready to review a movie?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Okay, so what we have is Gunpowder Milkshake. This released on like the 16th of July on Netflix. Three generations of women fight back against those who could take everything from them. Not a terribly good synopsis, not terribly bad. The three generations
Is
being.
it
Oh, go ahead.
accurate? Three generations.
I think they're saying that the little girl would be the third generation.
Yeah, I understand what they're saying, but I thought, wouldn't generations imply familial connection?
It would.
So, I don't know how I feel about that, because that
Or
girl
maybe the
is.
librarian ladies are like the oldest generation.
No, because they refer to him as aunties, so that would be the.
That would be familial, even though it's not like a
But I think they would have been,
blood family.
yeah, but I think they would have been along with the mom, like the first one, but I don't know.
Yeah, I could see that. So this
Well,
stars
it's
Karen
that
Gillan,
doesn't matter.
Freya Allen, Lena Headey, Paul Giamatti. Very happy to see him there. That was kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
He doesn't do too much anymore. Michelle Yeoh, Angela Bassett, and Carla Gugino.
Yeah. How do you want to tackle this one?
So the main thing I wanted to talk about was kind of the locations that they have.
Okay,
Because
yeah.
it's set vaguely in Europe, it seems. No major accents other than like the Russian thugs, because of course they're Russian. But like they try and build this world where you go to the library and you quote unquote check out books from these three women who are apparently assassins. And like inside the books are guns and ammo and money and stuff, whatever you may need. They have a diner which is like a safe or like a neutral ground where like the waitress Rose collects all your guns coming in the door.
Does she?
She tries to, not very
Okay.
well,
Okay.
because multiple people get killed in the diner.
I think every scene that takes place in the diner has someone getting killed, but okay. Anyways, go on.
Yeah, because there's only like two or three scenes there. Then there's the firm, which is a group of men who hire people to assassinate other people. And eventually turn on Karen Gillan, who was an assassin for them, but she killed someone like a powerful mob boss's son, and so they're not protecting her anymore. Then there's also like a hospital, which I totally thought was like masquerading as a dentist, because on their front counter they have a big, huge like ceramic tooth that opens up, and people have to put their guns in there when they show up there. So there's this whole underground like society of like resources available to assassins. Similar to John Wick, they're trying very much so to be John Wick with female leads.
Very much so, it might be an understatement.
Yeah, however, it doesn't deliver quite as well as John Wick, in my
No, I don't
opinion.
think it does.
There's not as much of the really great Steadicam shots or great action shots
No, the fight
that
scene in
make that franchise what it is.
the bowling scene fight was the bowling lane fight was rough.
Yeah, that was, and saying that was rough, that was probably the best one, I think, of the whole movie. Still, none of the others were better.
Yeah, I don't
Because you
know.
also get a big shootout in the hospital dentist office, as well as one in the
I
diner
think the
that's
dentist,
all in like
the
slow-mo.
hospital one was probably my favorite, honestly.
Right, so there's three thugs there looking to get Karen Gillan, and they're talking with the doctor. So the doctor goes in to give her some drugs that's gonna paralyze her arms, and then in 60 seconds she will be a sitting duck, he says. Which I don't quite understand. Like, I thought that meant she'd be fully paralyzed and still she's running around.
I think that means that's when her arms are fully paralyzed, like no movement, as opposed to a little bit of movement.
I thought my thought would be that she would be totally paralyzed, right?
Yeah.
Because that would be a sitting duck, quite literally.
Right, I kind of took it that way.
Because she comes running out of her little room and like she just spins really fast and is still able to pull the trigger because her just momentum is swinging her arm straight outwards while the little girl she's protecting has taped her handgun to her hand.
Yeah, initially when he said the sitting duck thing, I thought that as well. But looking back on it, I think you were supposed to interpret it as not being able to use her arms, but I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, that was just a little bit confusing to me because then she still came out and shot the living shit out of everybody.
Right.
Which was relatively comedic, you know, like her spinning around, you know, using the momentum to get her gun in the air.
Yeah, definitely.
And she's taped a scalpel to her other hand.
Right.
Before finally dropping the huge ceramic tooth on a guy's head.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
I liked that.
I don't know if there's more you want to say, but I think the settings, like the set design, might have been the strongest part of this movie. Like every location they go to has a very cool vibe, and
it had a very strong look and feel that was very discernible from all the others. It did not feel like random European city for the whole movie.
Right. Like the diner was sweet. The library was very cool. It was like old timey, but at the same time, like very fancy. And then the added like assassin shit in it was cool. And then I'm trying to think, the bowling alley, the lighting, and like the 70s vibe.
Yeah, it had a great ambiance.
Yeah.
And then she takes like the bowling bomber jacket.
Yep. And then she wears that for the rest of the movie, and it's a very cool look. And then she goes to that abandoned mall for a while. That was kind of a cool vibe.
Yeah, you walk through a knockoff Blockbuster for a moment.
Right. Yeah.
Then, of course, because she's still kind of paralyzed, she sits this kid that she's protecting on her lap to turn the steering wheel in her car as they're trying to get away. And she's just working the gas and brakes. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, that was a fun scene.
So I guess that's the major thing I wanted to talk about was like the settings. I thought that was the coolest part of the movie.
I think I agree. The settings were probably best.
I think the only thing I don't like is that we don't know like what city or what country it was in, because like I said, when you're outside it was all just vaguely European.
I don't know if I mind that, just because I don't know that it matters. But I don't know. I can see how it doesn't add anything or take away from it at all. Yeah. I guess what I'll talk about is probably the John Wick comparison. So I really like the John Wick movies, and they went a little off the rails, especially in the third one too. But this one, it's like it watched all three John Wick movies and wanted to have all of the payoff with none of the setup.
Yeah, because that took three movies to get a fully fleshed out like universe for them.
Right. And most of it is still pretty mysterious, but I guess that it's still fairly mysterious in this one too. But like, it's like they watched John Wick and then they watched a Tarantino movie like Kill Bill and was like, I can do that. I got this.
And
then
sure
they
tried.
They made like I'll give them a C+. Like they tried their best. Like, it was just, the action wasn't as good as a John Wick movie, the dialogue wasn't as good as a Tarantino movie, and they were trying. Some of those one-liners and the like the drawn out dialogue, like when she goes to the library and the librarians are talking about like what kind of assassin she is, and they say like old school or sentimental, she's like, I wouldn't say I'm sentimental, I'm like this. Like, they were very obviously trying to play on like a Tarantino style, like dry humor in a very weird scenario kind of thing. And I just
didn't and later when she comes back looking for more guns, they tell her to check the self-help section. Feels very much so like that as well.
Right. And I just didn't think it pulled it off well enough. And like, I liked the kid. She was a good actress. But, like, this was a gory, hard R movie, and then they kept going back to the 8 3/4 joke. Like, I'm not eight.
Yeah,
I'm
that
eight.
she's 8 3/4, not just 8 years old.
Yeah, and they, like, once is fine, but they did it like four times, and I'm like, this isn't that kind of movie, is it?
Yeah, Emily, the girl she was protecting, is name played by Chloe Coleman, and I thought she was
thought
great as well.
She did a quite good job, but some of the
possibly
dialogue,
the highlight of the movie for me.
Right. It feels like it was trying to vibe jack a bunch of different movies, and it didn't quite get there with any of them. Like, I don't have a problem with trying to use your information, your inspirations, I should say, and even wear them on your sleeve. But if you're going to do that, you got to execute. And I thought it just fell a little short on most of those inspirations.
Yeah, what I will say is this movie succeeded in, like, keeping me awake for the whole runtime. It's
I don't want to say
hour
like,
and 54, and I had a lot of fun with it. But
I'm not going to say it's bad.
I don't
it
think
fun.
It's great.
It was enjoyable. Like, it's a popcorn flick. But some of those popcorn flicks are elevated. Like, that first John Wick movie is gripping from beginning to end. Yes, it's action-y and popcorn-y, but also it's emotional. The stunts and choreography are the best in the business.
They're top tier.
And if you're going to go for that vibe, you can't miss. And, like, I keep going back to that bowling scene. I don't know if you noticed, but it looks like in a few spots they're basically, like, stuttering. And it's because they tried to do the one shot without any cuts of the fight, but none of them were good enough martial artists. So it seems like what they did is film it a little bit slower so they could get their choreography right, but then in post,
and then
they
sped it up
sped
for
it
the
up.
Movie.
And,
yeah, and I did notice that a little bit.
And I could
especially
tell,
with those neon lights behind it, it felt
yeah,
rather obvious.
And, like, the choreography,
I did like
wasn't
the moment
terrible.
Where she bowled a ball across, like, the whole, like, wind-up area leading up to the lanes and smack the guy in the face. I thought that was cool.
Right, I like that. That
but
was cool, and that was funny, and that was more on the Tarantino side. Like, that wouldn't happen
mm-hmm.
in a John Wick movie, and I thought that was cool. That's kind of getting away from it, using some of those other inspirations, not just one movie, but I don't know. And then, like, not to harp on the things I didn't like, because there were things I liked. I thought Karen Gillan was okay. She's basically just doing her Nebula character from Avengers, the aloof badass, but I thought she fits that vibe well.
Right. Lena Headey plays, you know, kind of weird, protective, absentee mom relatively well.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought she did good. I liked the three librarians.
The librarians.
It did kind of annoy me. Like, the checking out a book is almost exactly the sommelier scene.
Oh, yeah.
From John Wick.
It's exactly
of, like,
the same.
What does this gun pair with? Oh, this is some light reading. Like, it
yeah,
was
and they
almost
were like, here's a Jane Austen and Emily Bronte and so on.
Yeah, just like in John Wick, they do that with wines and stuff. And then he gets, like, a shotgun for dessert, quote unquote.
Right, which that makes a little bit more sense, I feel like, in the, you know, is it a simile or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Analogy, that's the word I'm looking for. Then, like, the classic authors does
right.
with
it,
the guns.
Yeah. Because, like, it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of parallels between what books were and which guns were inside of them, in my opinion.
Other than the fact that the one small book had a small gun.
Yeah.
Right,
so
I mean, that
yeah,
was
like I said, not to harp on things I didn't like, but I thought the actors were okay with what they were given. The dialogue might have been a little rough. The
smells
diner,
like a sequel if Netflix gets decent streams out of it.
Yeah, I think they already greenlit one. I think I heard.
Really?
I would have to check that, but I'm not. I did mention the diner earlier, just to bring it up. Another small nitpick. Like, you can't establish that you can't bring a gun into a place, and then have a shootout.
And constantly allow
two
people,
out of the three,
you know,
scenes
bringing
that
guns
are
in.
Like, the main diner girl, Rose, even had, like, a name. Her name was Rose. And then in the last scene where when they reveal that the librarians are there with their guns and they're going to save them, like, I don't know where she is. Like, there's
yeah, and some of the other waitresses there seem to pull out guns and start shooting as well, I think, because I thought there was one in the background that was unnamed.
Okay, so maybe that was it. Maybe it's supposed to imply that they like Karen
the
Gillan's
mom
character.
and yeah.
Maybe they like him that much because they do refer to her as their like their favorite customer or whatever. That
Yeah,
they're
because they get an
gonna.
extra scoop of ice cream on their milkshake.
Maybe we're supposed to imply that they're breaking protocol to save their lives or something. But like that's
Right.
not
And maybe I'm confused
made.
too because I think the librarians dressed up as waitresses as well.
They did, yeah, they definitely did.
Yeah, so that could be what I'm getting mixed up here.
But
As well
if
as Karen Gillan's mom or Lena Headey's character.
it just wasn't really developed, and like how that scene was set up is Sam, Karen Gillan's character, was supposed to be like going there to sacrifice herself to save Emily, the little girl. And like when she leaves, the librarian's like, "We don't have a plan, I guess this is it." And then like they show up, but like there's no, "Hey, this is worth it. We might die, but like we can save these people or something." There's no like self-sacrifice or anything. Like, why was this not the plan just from the beginning? Like, why did Sam have to be in the dark?
Right. And it seems like they had that too with Scarlet, Lena Headey's character as well. Because constantly Sam is asking her what the plan is to like get out of her apartment or whatever, and she claims she doesn't have a plan and then suddenly opens up the side of a washing machine and they're over in a restaurant after crawling through an air duct.
Yeah, and that one, I think she was being facetious. So maybe it was supposed to be, we're supposed to read it as she was being facetious again, and Sam didn't read it right. I don't know.
Right.
But you would have thought it would have been more beneficial to the plan for Sam to be in on the plan.
Yeah, so that she could be totally prepared too.
I don't know. I feel mean that I'm nitpicking this movie so much, but there was just a lot of stuff
Well, if
that
it's
stuck
trying to
out.
be as good as Better Things, then it'll get graded based upon those other things as well.
Right. And
So do
like
you want to do
again,
scores?
yeah, we can do scores. And I'll start. Like again, I didn't think it was terrible. I'm gonna give it a 6 out of 10. Like it was enjoyable. There was I loved the set design, the soundtrack. I really liked the soundtrack.
I gave it a 6 as well.
There's some
But
fun
yeah, I agree
action.
with
It's a
everything you're
popcorn
saying.
flick. It's above a 5. It's good. It's just not elevated to that next level.
Yeah, where it wants to be is not where it is.
Right.
So, I mean,
I don't really have any more thoughts than that. It was.
I'd watch another one of these, I think, but I
Yeah, if
think I
they put
would
out a
expect
sequel, I'll watch
improvement.
it, but I don't think it's gonna break the action genre or anything like John Wick did a few years ago.
I agree. John Wick is just a tier above everything else when it
Right.
comes to this sort of genre. And so I guess what we'll say is we have not chosen what we're going to watch next week. I need to confer with Anthony and Scott. So we will tweet out what we'll be watching for next week's episode sometime this
That means
week.
you have to subscribe. Where can they subscribe to you, Jim, to see
Yeah,
that
follow us on
tweet?
Twitter at we've underscore seen underscore that. Like us on Facebook because we'll post it there too. And you can always email us at seenthatpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's SCENE, thatpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks
Awesome.
for listening to We've Seen That Podcast. I'm Jim.
And I'm Adam.
And roll credits.